Welcome to installment 109 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment 94, to fulfill one's oath or verbal commitment. The commandment to fulfill one's verbal commitment is derived, according to the Rambam, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 24. The verse states, Meitis v'asecha tishmer v'asisa. One must be careful to fulfill the utterance of one's lips. Which sort of utterance are we referring to? The Rambam states that this is a verbal commitment to do something, such as a shvua, an oath, as we mentioned in the previous day's portions, a neder, a vow, or a korban, such as a person who takes upon an acceptance in using an expression of sacrifice, and thereby make himself obligated in performing a certain action or not performing an action. The Rambam mentions that this commandment is repeated in the book of the Numbers, verse 3 in chapter 30, where the verse states, Chol ha'yetzeh mipiv yaseh, that everything which comes out of everything you expressed must be fulfilled. One must keep one's word. The Rambam points out that the Talmud has a particular interpretation of every single word of this verse in Deuteronomy. However, the primary concept which is being conveyed is that when one keeps one's word, he is fulfilling a positive commandment, a mitzvah seseh. On the other hand, when one makes a verbal commitment to do something in the form of an oath or a vow, and does not fulfill it, he is transgressing a prohibition, as we will discuss in the next portion of prohibition number 157. The Rambam mentions that there are many details involving this commandment, and they are scattered throughout various tractates of the Talmud and the Mishnah, in Shavuos, Nedarim, Menachos, and Kinim. Since the Rambam has mentioned that this commandment applies to both keeping a shvua and a neder, both an oath and a vow, we should explain what is the difference between these two concepts. The Rambam explains in his legal code that a shvua, an oath, can apply both to a concrete thing and also an intangible thing. A neder, on the other hand, a vow, can apply only to a concrete thing. For example, when someone makes an oath, he can make an oath not to eat a certain food, and he can also make an oath not to sleep for a certain period of time, or not to speak to a person, or not to walk to a certain place. Even though these are intangible things, they are not concrete. The act of sleeping is not something with physical parameters. So too, walking is not something which can be measured in terms of its weight and volume. Nevertheless, one can make an oath to walk or to speak, or not to walk and not to speak. A neder, however, a vow, applies only to something concrete. If someone uses an expression of neder, of making a vow, not to sleep or not to speak, this is an invalid vow and is not binding. The explanation of this is that a shvua, an oath, applies to the person, whereas a neder, a vow, applies to the object. Therefore, since an oath applies to the person, a person can make an oath even on something which is intangible. Since it's applying to him, he can make an oath not to sleep. However, since a neder, a vow, applies to an object, he cannot make a vow not to sleep. There is no object being involved here. He can only make it prohibited for himself not to sleep. However, both oaths and vows must certainly be kept once they are determined to be valid. Therefore, we find the interesting law in the legal code of the Rambam that although a vow not to speak is an invalid vow, nevertheless, one can make a vow that prohibits his mouth from speaking. That although speech is not something with concrete value, a mouth is something quantifiable. Therefore, one can make a vow to prohibit one's mouth from speaking. Although there are certain cases when vows are considered to be meritorious, in general, the Torah frowns upon vows, and especially unnecessary vows. The Medrash states that Yanai HaMelech, the King Yanai, had 2,000 villages under his control. They were all destroyed by Hashem. The reason is given in the Medrash because these people were free with their vows. They made many unnecessary vows. Even though the vows might be fulfilled, nevertheless, the mere fact that they were so free in making such a severe and such an important verbal commitment meant that they deserved the punishment of having the villages destroyed. Many times people come to regret their vows. In such cases, there are many conditions when the vow can be annulled. One very well-known story in the Talmud involves an oath which was regretted. We all know the story of Rabbi Akiva, that Akiva was 40 years old and had never once studied Torah. He worked only as a shepherd. He worked for a man named Kalba Savua, who was an extremely wealthy man. He had a daughter named Rachel, who was also accustomed to his lavish ways and was also brought up in such a way to respect Torah scholars. Her father always entertained Torah scholars and certainly hoped that his daughter would marry one of them. Rachel, however, saw this simple Akiva, saw his honesty, and saw his infinite potential. She therefore agreed to marry the simple Akiva upon condition that he would leave his home and become a Torah scholar. Rachel's father was crushed, and he was beside himself with pain and anger. And he promised, he made a vow, that he would never give any of his wealth and any of his estate to his daughter Rachel. Rachel lived in extreme poverty, without money for a home, without money for decent clothing, and without money for decent food, which was taken all the more severely by her since she was accustomed to such a rich lifestyle. In addition to that, she sent her husband Akiva away from home to study Torah, and he went away for 12 years. Upon returning, he had already become a great scholar and came with 12,000 of his students accompanying him. When he approached his home, he heard Rachel speaking with someone who was expressing his regret and his compassion that she had done without a husband for so long. However, Rachel said, "Not only do I not regret it, but I would be happy if he would go away for another 12 years to study." Upon hearing this, Akiva turned around and returned to study away from his home for another 12 years. Upon returning, he had doubled the amount of students and came back to his home with 24,000 students. When he saw his wife Rachel, he announced to everybody in sight, to the entire crowd, that all of his Torah study and all of the Torah study of his students is due to this one woman who pushed him to study Torah and encouraged him and allowed him to leave his home and encouraged him to devote his entire life to Torah study. In the meantime, Kalba Savua had heard that a famous rabbi was coming to Jerusalem. For many years he had already regretted the vow that he had taken and saw the poverty that his daughter Rachel was forced to endure. When he heard that the famous rabbi was coming to Jerusalem, he went to see him and asked perhaps could he find some way to annul his vow, since he regretted very much this which he had accepted upon himself, not to give any money to his daughter Rachel. The famous rabbi asked, "If you knew that her husband would become a great and honored Torah scholar, would you have taken this vow?" Kalba Savua answered that, "Of course not. Should I have known that he would become a Torah scholar, of course I never would have taken such a vow." This famous rabbi, who was, of course, the famed Rabbi Akiva, his son-in-law, stated, "Then your vow was taken upon a misunderstanding, and your vow is then not valid. And you should know that I am your son-in-law, and your daughter Rachel has indeed married a Torah scholar." Upon being released from the oath, Kalba Savua gave half of his fortune to his daughter Rachel and his son-in-law Akiva. And then they had not only the spiritual richness of the world, but all of the physical richness and money that they needed as well. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.